4. The cliché. Freud, in Jokes and Their Relation to the Unconscious, examines the scientist and satirist G.C. Lichtenberg's use of the analogy, "It is almost impossible to carry the torch of truth through a crowd without singeing someone's beard." No doubt that seems to be a joke, Freud writes. But, he continues, on closer examination, we notice that the joking effect does not arise from the analogy itself, but from a subsidiary characteristic. The torch of truth is not a new analogy, but one that has been common for a very long time and has become a cliché. As always happens when an analogy is lucky and accepted into linguistic usage. Though we scarcely notice the analogy any longer in the phrase, the torch of truth, it is suddenly given back its full original force by Lichtenberg, since an addition is now made to the analogy, and a consequence is drawn from it. The same revival of a hackneyed expression takes place in K. Ryan's Home to Roost, which riffs on the old barnyard idiom. The chickens are circling and blotting out the day. The sun is bright, but the chickens are in the way. Ryan's slender poem, employing what she has termed recombinant rhyme, ends, "These are the chickens you let loose one at a time, and small, various breeds. Now they have come home to roost, all the same kind, at the same speed." The lockstep return of the chickens produces a smile and a shudder at once. Horace encourages this sort of verbal rehabilitation in his Ars Poetica. "You will express yourself eminently well if a dexterous combination should give an air of novelty to a well-known word." Both poets and comics find it germane to pick up worn-out phrases and hold them up to the light. 5. By association. This aspect of jokes is described by Arthur Koestler in his book The Act of Creation, 1964. Koestler's term refers to the mixture of concepts from two contexts or categories of objects that are normally considered separate by the literal process of the mind. By association, according to Koestler, means to join unrelated, often conflicting, information in a new way. Freud, too, refers to the coupling of dissimilar things in jokes. While Koestler sees such incongruities as leading to laughter, these same incongruities are the essence of poetic wit, as described by Samuel Johnson, a kind of discordia concurs, a combination of dissimilar images, or discovery of occult resemblances in things apparently unlike. It is difficult to share Johnson's reservations about Donne, whose conceits were so masterly. "Our two souls, therefore, which are one, though I must go, endure not yet a breach, but an expansion, like gold to airy thinness beat. If they be two, they are two so as stiff twin compasses are two. Thy soul, the fixed foot, makes no show to move, but doth if the other do. And though it in the center sit, yet when the other far doth roam, it leans and hearkens after it, and grows erect as that comes home. Such wilt thou be to me, who must, like the other foot, obliquely run. Thy firmness makes my circle just, and makes me end where I begun." The Renaissance is a goldmine of examples of how poetry and jokes approach one another. The metaphysical and cavalier poets relished punning, wordplay, and raucous humor, all tinged with their signature melancholy.